This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We've got a live audience here at the Belly Up Club in Aspen, Colorado with us today. So that's one different thing we're doing, 250 of our closest friends. The second different thing is no news spots, no feature stories. Instead, the economy sideways, we like to say. A couple of conversations about risk, how to calculate it, how to handle it, and how to thrive despite it. Fashion designer Tori Burch, next to me on the stage right here, has some experience with all three of those. She started her line 8 years ago, right, in your apartment in Manhattan. Today there are 73 Tori Burch stores in the United States, around the world. So one could fairly say risk, ha, right? Come on. First of all, welcome to the Belly Up.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I want to talk about risk and speed, right? Let me reach over and just adjust this microphone
a little bit.
Thank
you. I'm trying
to talk.
Do
yeah,
that.
Don't touch the mic. That's the engineers do that. Risk and speed. 8 years. A global company. Talk to me about the terror involved with that speed.
Yeah, so I think I'm terrified every day. And when people say, oh, do you feel your success? To me, we're just beginning. And I think after 8 years, I feel like that day in and day out. I think every store we open is a risk, and we try to do the best we can to learn the market and what we're getting into and learn to see if our customers there.
Not to get all technical, but marginal risk declines the more stores you have, right? Store one was incredibly risky. Store 74 is going to be meh.
I don't look at it that way. I think 74 is a risk as well. Every single one of our stores is performing and is doing what it needs to do. And if it wasn't, then we would quickly fix that. But it, to me, it's a risk no matter what.
There are 40 plus or minus in the States, right?
And about 48 in the States.
Okay, and 30-something overseas, right? 25, 30?
That's right.
Okay. As you expand internationally, how do you handle risk of expansion and entrepreneurship in places that can be tricky, right? I mean, you're in Singapore, I think, now is a new store, and lots of places in Asia. How do you do that?
We just opened on Orchard Road in Singapore, and I think
if you happen to be there, so,
if you happen to be, I don't know what that means, but we try to be very cautious about the people there, about their customs and traditions, and we also see who's shopping our line, and we do a lot of that by looking at who's shopping on our e-commerce business, and we move in slowly. I never want to open with a big bash, and we do it in a subtle way. And I
really,
think
you don't do one of those big parties at the stores.
We do eventually, and yeah. I visit at every store eventually, but for me it's better to be a little more subtle and get in there and hopefully let the collection speak for itself.
What's the moment of maximum peril for you in opening a new store in that decision process?
It's all about instinct and gut, and I think no matter what, we're a patient brand and we wait for the right position, and it is about adjacencies and who we're sitting next to, but really we think about will women respond to it and is it the right location for us in 5 years from now.
Right. And so do you have a team whose job is that for each store or each region probably, right?
We do. We have someone who runs our stores who came from Apple, so he has a very broad view of things.
And, and he does it well.
He looks at us as a very tiny company. And what he likes to do and our team likes to do is really understand the nuances of where we are and the people there.
Right. Let's give a sense of scale. I mean, the last public numbers I saw were $800 million revenue every year, right? I mean, that's not a small amount of risk that you're playing with.
Yeah, so it's about that. We're
it's private. About that, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you know,
it's around that, but we have a great team, a lot of employees.
When did you know, I guess, that the risk of that first store had evaporated and you were going to make it?
In the beginning, I was thinking about that earlier, and there are so many naysayers and so much noise and so much saying, oh, this is luck, and you're so lucky, it's another season. And my parents always taught me, number one, I didn't have limitations. I grew up with three brothers, and I didn't know that things weren't possible for women and things like that. So I looked at that as sad to hear, but I just kept moving along and moving forward. And then we had certain things that seemed to take traction, and I knew in the first few years that it seemed to have longevity.
Right.
Being on Oprah Winfrey didn't hurt us on any level.
Hurts.
It really helped us build the brand.
Yeah. So when that happened, when the Oprah thing happened, what happened inside your brain and inside the company? I mean, this was a year plus or minus after you started.
It was. We were in business 8 months, and I got a call that Oprah was interested in putting us on her show for the next big thing in fashion.
Oh, my God.
And yeah.
Right?
I thought one of my brothers was playing a joke. And so I honestly never thought it was real. And we ended up going on the show, and in short, the next day we had 8 million hits on our website.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to a question in the back. Yes, sir.
Don Finley, Question on the timeline, meaning on risks. So when David talks about mountaineering, I think he's probably talking in terms of a couple seconds if a rock is getting after him to 2 days maybe on a big mountain. Whereas in your business, it goes out from a day to a week to 2 years longer. How do you see the risk in that, or how do you see it evolving as you work your business?
How do you judge long-term risk, right? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think each collection is a risk. You're only as good as your last collection.
So every fall and every spring, you go through this whole thing all over again.
At least we do 5 collections a year, it's 11 deliveries. So each time you deliver into a store, you're judged, you're written about. With the internet, it's instant, and so it's a whole new world we're learning.
There's a difference between risk and criticism, right? Fashion critics and writers and all that stuff, right? I mean, there's the sales thing, and then there's the vibe thing.
If that makes any sense. At the end of the day, it's really about the sales. You want the critics to love it, and that's great if they do. They don't always love it, and I don't know that at the end that it really affects the bottom line.
Right. What's next for Tory Burch? I mean, where do you go from here?
So we're opening more stores. We've started a foundation for
Actually, let's talk about that a little bit, right? It's the Tory Burch Foundation. It focuses on female entrepreneurs and microfinance, microcredit.
That's right.
Which is risk but smaller.
So we're trying to help women in the United States and then hopefully one day abroad start small businesses and help them with mentorship as well. Launching a fragrance with Estee Lauder in a year will be a first time. We've never advertised before, so it'll be our first national ad campaign.
Which is risky in and of itself, right?
Because
as you know, half of advertising works. You just don't know which half.
And we'll see. Hopefully the perfume will work.
Tory Burch, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you very much.